Hey everyone, I'm Bethann Schwamberger. I'm so glad you're back for another episode of the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. We're so excited to have you here, and I hope you learned something new today.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
So today on the show, I'm going to do a book review of a very old book, actually, but it's one that many great business leaders have recommended and have cited as really changing their lives and changing the way that they do business. So I just had to check this book out for myself, see what it was all about, and I have to say, I'm a big fan now. So the book in question is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This book was first published in 1936, so it's old. You might think that a book written that long ago can't possibly still have business advice that applies to today, that applies to our modern world, but you'd be wrong. The book has sold 15 million copies worldwide. So I first heard about this book from business greats like Warren Buffett, who read this book at a young age. Then I read that Dave Ramsey had also recommended this book. And when I heard the title, I initially thought, this book sounds a bit creepy. I have to say that was my first impression. Like, what am I doing? Manipulating people? Is this book going to teach me how to, like, do mind bender tricks and just be bizarre in the way that I'm influencing others? It just seemed like a very strange concept to me and a strange focus, I guess you could say. But the book could really have a different title and it wouldn't seem as creepy, which is essentially just how to relate well to others, how to be an effective leader. Those would both sum up the book very well. So the book, in fact, is not creepy and weird at all. Dale Carnegie does a great job of explaining really the basics of human psychology in his book and the ways that, you know, we treat other people, how this can affect our relationships, how we can build strong relationships. And then he translates it over into the business field with how we can then be an effective leader and be successful in business. I have to say that a lot of his principles I have heard before. I mean, a lot of them are kind of those basic, okay, duh, like let's treat people in a kind way kind of things. But you don't, until you hear him talk about it and give case studies, you don't realize how often you miss the boat and how often, I'll just say, instead of saying you and trying to put the blame on all of you out there, I don't realize how often I miss the boat and how often I can just kind of be focused on myself and what I'm looking for instead of really treating other people the way I want to be treated and really focusing on them and having an attitude where I'm wanting to serve others rather than just be out for myself. So really, this book was a great reminder for me for some things that I already knew. But where I thought the book was especially interesting was a lot of these ideas I've heard before in maybe books on marriage and family relationships and how to strengthen those, but I hadn't seen them applied nearly as often in the business realm. I find that a little surprising, but I think that sometimes in the business realm, people assume that they have to almost have a persona. They need to come across as powerful and in charge and I never make mistakes and just be a little bit different in that way. I mean, to be honest, that persona is essentially, it's not real. No real person is like that. But I think there's a lot of business books out there and a mentality that says we kind of have to put that persona on to be successful in business. But what I love about this book is that it really gets back to the basics and says, no, business is, again, it's all about human relationships. It's all about relating to people. And so the same principles that apply to being a good spouse or being a good friend friend or a good parent. Those same principles we use there, that's what we should be using in our business relationships as well. So I really appreciated the way this book approached things. And I have to say that even the case studies that Dale Carnegie brings up, they still come across as relevant today, even though they happened a long time ago. The basics of human relationships haven't changed. So the case studies I still found very, very relevant. So I highly recommend this book. I actually listened to the audio form of this book and was able to get through it much more quickly. And if you want to grab the audio form of this book, you can actually grab your first book on audible.com for free and grab a free 30-day trial by just going to audibletrial.com/brilliantbusinessmoms. So Audible has extended that offer to all of our listeners, and we're so excited to give it to you because Sarah and I use Audible all the time, and there's no way I could consume the crazy amount of books that I consume without listening to them in audio format. So I hope you'll give that a try. Also, many of the points that I'm discussing here on the podcast, they will be available on the show notes. So you can check those out at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/23. So please don't worry about furiously scribbling down notes while you're driving or something ridiculous like that. I will have everything available for you on the blog. So let's dig into some of the points that Dale Carnegie talks about in his book. So you can maybe learn a few things today that you can implement today, but also kind of pique your interest in checking this book out because it really is a great read. And I think that of all the self-help books that have come about since, this one really gets back to the basics and or it is the basics, I suppose. It probably was one of the first, quote, self-help books ever written. And so it honestly, it's really good. It's really solid advice. So the book's broken into several parts. The first one is called Fundamental Techniques in Handling People. And the three points there are: one, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Two, give honest and sincere appreciation. And three, arouse in the other person an eager want. Which I thought these points were really great, but what I liked better were the areas of the book where he kind of broke things down in a little more detail, like the section on 6 ways to make people like you, and then also his section on how to be a great leader. So I'm going to discuss those in a bit more detail. So, 6 ways to make people like you. Again, this sounds a little bit cheesy. It's like, I mean, don't we know at this point? I mean, I'm 29 years old. Shouldn't I have figured out by now how to get people to like me? I mean, of course. And I think what you'll find out is that, oh, you probably already use some of these tips already. But let's say you're dealing with an individual, a coworker or a boss who just seems to not mesh well with you. You feel like, oh, they don't really like me and I'm not sure why. Well, you might be able to apply some of these ideas in a more focused, intentional way and see some positive results. So the first way is become genuinely interested in other people. I cannot tell you how true this is. I think that I'm someone who loves new things. And so I love meeting new people and finding out about them. I am someone who can easily become interested in just about anything. Maybe that's the nerd side of me, but you could hand me a periodic table of the elements, or you could hand me a book about Mozart, and I'm going to be equally fascinated by either of those things. I find the world in general fascinating. I find learning fascinating. But I think even if you're not someone that tends to be genuinely interested in other people, just find those bits and pieces that you are interested in. Find that bent or that characteristic about that person that really is unique and interesting, and just run with it. There are a few good quotes that Dale Carnegie has in the book that are so true. He says, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you." And I'm sure you've run across these people, right? I mean, we all have. These people who will just talk on and on and on about themselves. They want to talk about their accomplishments and why they're great. It's almost like they're trying to sell you on themselves and why they're fabulous. And anytime someone does this, I just want to turn off. I honestly just want to say, oh no, I have an emergency phone call. I've got to step out. Sorry. It just, you know, it's not fun. It's not fun to be around someone like that. But when you can express genuine interest in someone else, the funny thing is they'll actually find you more fascinating. Even though all you really did was be a good listener and ask engaging questions and just find ways to connect with them based on their interests and what they value. The funny thing is, chances are they'll walk away from that conversation saying, wow, she was a really fascinating person, even though you might have only said 10 words to every 1,000 words that other person said. And to be honest, you will learn so much by just becoming a better listener. So that was tip number one, become genuinely interested in other people. Tip number two is smile. Again, I've heard some business leaders recommend that you shouldn't smile as much, and they say that this is a sign of weakness, but you know what? We live in the real world now. Like, business is about relating to people, and I'm sorry, but I don't go for all of these silly power plays. I think that smiling and being friendly and approachable is completely the way to go. And if those are the people you like to relate to, I suggest you take this advice as well, because I don't want to get involved with anyone in business who likes power plays and being aloof or nonsense like that. So I say follow this advice and smile. Be friendly. Be approachable. If you're happy, people want to be around you more. So be a positive person. The interesting thing too about smiling is that studies actually show that if you force yourself to smile, even if you're feeling grumpy inside, there's something that happens within your brain that makes you happier. That physical act of smiling can actually change what's going on in your brain and make you feel happier as well. And you know what? It's going to make the people around you feel happier too. Tip number three is remember that a person's name is, to that person, the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Now, again, I've seen this used too much where someone's saying your name every other word and it gets a little bit awkward, but it's also awkward when you don't remember someone's name and you really should. So make a point to remember people's names. Remember something about them that'll help you keep their name in mind. Tip number four is be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Now, this goes along with tip number one of being genuinely interested. Those kind of go hand in hand. Tip number five, talk in terms of the other person's interests. Again, you're putting the focus on them. And tip number six, make the other person feel important. And do it sincerely. Now, this again can be taken too far. People can sense flattery from a mile away, but if there's someone in business that you're wanting to connect with and you really admire them and there's something about them that you think they're doing a great job at with their business or whatever the case is, tell them about it. You don't have to be a raving lunatic, but you know, give them the compliment. Give them that praise. Don't hold back. Let them know that you think they're doing an amazing job at someone. Let them feel important because they are important. Isn't every human being important? I think so. Some other great quotes from this section were, "Why talk about what we want? That is childish, absurd. Of course you are interested in what you want. You are eternally interested in it, but no one else is. The rest of us are just like you. We are interested in what we want." And another great quote from Emerson is, "Every man I meet is my superior in some way. In that, I learn of him." So it doesn't matter who you're interacting with. There is a way that you can make that person feel important. There is something that they are fabulous at. There is something that makes them incredibly unique. It's your job to discover what that is, to compliment them on it, to make them feel special, valued, and important. There's also a case study within this section where Carnegie talks about a man who was wanting to win over, I believe it was Rockefeller's business. And this man had, I hope I'm not getting the details wrong, but I believe it was some sort of furniture business, and he wanted to secure a deal with Rockefeller to outfit one of his buildings or something like that. But instead of walking in and just saying, "Hey dude, here's what I want," he walked in the room and just complimented Rockefeller on a few things and just, I mean, gushed, but in a normal way, and just got talking and asked Rockefeller more questions. He ended up, Rockefeller like gave him a tour of something in the house and just chatted with him forever. And he ended up getting the business deal he wanted by essentially finally Rockefeller asked him, "Okay, well, now that I've talked your ear off about this topic that interests me, what was it you came to see me about?" And so then right off the bat, because Rockefeller had asked him, he had this immediate in. They'd already built this great connection, this great relationship. And of course, Rockefeller said yes to the offer. So again, in business, you shouldn't go into the situation saying, "Hey, here I am. Look at why I'm great. And here's what I want." Go into that situation interested in them, just wanting to talk with them, relate to them, and compliment them on what makes them special. Okay, another section of the book that was great is 12 ways to win people to your way of thinking. Now, I won't go into this section in as much detail, but essentially, when you disagree with someone, the best idea is to readily admit when you're wrong. And even if you're not wrong, admit to the fact that, you know what, I might be wrong. So let's sit back and look at the facts. He also emphasizes that you need to be friendly. You need to see things from the other person's point of view. And even when you're still trying to influence them to your way of thinking, you need to find a way to bring that other person around to that way of thinking so that they feel the idea is theirs. So again, this can be a little bit tricky in real life, but I will let Dale Carnegie go into that section in more detail because he does a great job in the book. The other section I really loved is Be a Leader: How to Change People Without Giving Offense or Arousing Resentment. So there are 9 tips on this section, and I'm going to go through those and give some other great quotes and some things I learned from this section. 1, begin with praise and honest appreciation. 2, call attention to people's mistakes indirectly. Meaning if there's a way that you can blame that mistake on the environment, on the situation, on the circumstance, do that. Don't come out right and tell someone else that they were wrong or they made a mistake. That will embarrass them. It will hurt their pride. So it's honestly, it's not a good idea. 3, talk about your own mistakes before criticizing the other person. 4, ask questions instead of giving direct orders. 5, let the other person save face. 6, praise every improvement. I have to say, tip number 6, I've realized I use this as a mom all the time. I mean, we all know if you're a parent, you see very tiny improvements in skill and change in your children when they're starting out from infancy going on up. I mean, crawling starts out very slowly. They're just creeping along. And there are gradual changes. And what do we do as parents? We clap and yay and good job, like every little thing that they do. And our children eat that up. They love it. And it encourages them to do more and go further. And my son Holden actually has a disability. It's called arthrogryposis. I won't get into all the details now, but for him, he's actually unable to walk right now, but he's working really hard to stand with support and start taking some steps. And do you know what keeps him going when it's really hard work and he just really wants to give up? Praise. What keeps him going is his dad and I saying, "We are so proud of you, buddy. You are doing a great job. One more step. We know you can do it. We know you can." And you know what? At the end of the day, we'll talk about what happened that day. We'll talk about how hard he worked and what a great job he did. When he falls down, it's just a, "No problem, buddy. Not a big deal. Let's get right back up." And I've realized that, you know, the same things I use with my 3-year-old to keep him motivated, to keep him going, honestly, it works for all of us. Don't we all want praise for even those small improvements we want in our lives? I mean, if my husband comes home and he sees that, "Hey, I actually did do all the dishes today," which is not likely to happen at our house. I am not a great housekeeper, I will confess. But when he praises me for those little things, I'm way more likely to do them in the future and work hard at them. There's just something about getting that praise and acknowledgement that as humans, it just keeps us going. It encourages us. Okay, so 7, give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. So what this means is, praise them for qualities and characteristics that they might not even really have yet. If you really want an employee who's trustworthy and dependable, start praising them for that. Start telling other people that, wow, Jamie is so dependable. I love that she always comes on time. Man, I can just always count on Jamie. And you know what? The more you do that with people, the more you give them that benefit of the doubt, and you almost instill that belief in them that they're fabulous, they will live up to that great reputation you gave them. Tip number 8, use encouragement and make the fault seem easy to correct. So if they did make a small mistake, make it seem like, oh, not a big deal, we'll do this and it'll be over in a minute and mistake's done. And tip 9, make the other person happy about doing what you suggest. So let me go over some great quotes from the book that talk about how to be a great leader. So Charles Schwab said, "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among my people the greatest asset I possess. And the way to develop the best that is in a person is by appreciation and encouragement. There is nothing else that so kills the ambitions of a person as criticism from superiors." I have to say, I think this is so true. I'm going to get a little bit more personal here. I feel like I'm confessing a lot in this episode, but that's okay because I think it kind of lets you see how these principles play out in real life. So let me share that as a nurse, the last job that I had, I worked on a floor where some of our patients were post-op patients. So, of course, we worked with surgeons. Now, surgeons are, I would say for the most part, perfectionists by nature. They got into their professions because they strive for excellence in all they do. And if you do need to be excellent to be a surgeon, you need to know your stuff. You need to be decisive. You need to be as perfect and precise as you can when you're performing surgery. So surgeons often expect this very, very high level of performance from everyone around them, which is understandable. But what I struggled with as a nurse was the lack of ability to effectively relate to other people that was so common among the surgeons that we worked with. Instead of using these tips of beginning with praise or giving encouragement, the surgeons would essentially just expect perfection, even from those of us who were brand new nurses and brand new at dealing with post-op patients and still had a lot to learn. We were eager to learn. I know many of my coworkers are super smart and talented and motivated and eager to learn, but often overwhelmed with everything they needed to learn and with all the tasks that were part of their day. So sometimes instead of finding areas to praise and encouraging us to improve by being positive and by letting us save face and not embarrassing us, instead they would just flip out and yell at a nurse in front of everyone else on the floor. So there could be parents walking around, parents of the patients we treated. There were other nurses around, other doctors around, and the surgeons would scream. And of course, this does nothing to boost morale. And you know, when the surgeons would do this, I have to say, number one, it made my respect level for them go way down. Number two, if that surgeon needed a favor from me in the future or needed something special or whatever the case was, do you think I was very likely to do it? Not really. I kind of brushed the guy off as a jerk and thought, you know what? I am smart. I'm motivated, but I'm not going to give you the best that I have. Why should I? You're kind of a jerk. But instead, if they had approached us in a positive way, if they had taken just a few extra minutes out of their day to tell us when we were doing a good job, to thank us for things, I think that our working relationships would have been a lot better. But you know what? I don't want to just be negative here and talk about the ways the surgeons didn't do a great job. I'm going to give you an example of a time when a surgeon went out of his way to tell me I was doing a good job. And you know what? I will remember that forever. It made such a difference. So I walked into a patient's room with a surgeon, And we both talked with the patient. The surgeon gave him an update on what the plan of care was going to be. And then I stayed in the room for a minute or two longer to ask the patient about some preferences that he had. I was about to go get him something to drink and see if he needed anything else. When I walked out of the room, the surgeon was waiting for me in the hallway. And I have to say, my first reaction was, what did I do? What did I do wrong? Why is he standing here? Why is he lurking? Usually he would have, you know, sped back off to the operating room or, you know, went about his day. But instead, he said, hey, Bethann, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm thinking, sure, okay. I mean, I can't say no. And he said, I've been hearing a lot of good things about you from our patients when they come to their follow-up appointments in the clinic. Your name has come up several times. So I just wanted to tell you, keep up the good work. You're doing a good job. I was stunned. Like, to this day, I still can't believe that that happened. What that did for my morale on the job, it was incredible. I mean, it made me want to work that much harder to do a great job. It gave me that boost I needed to realize that, you know, despite all the doubts I had about being a good nurse, about still having so much to learn, I thought, you know what? Some of my patients do think I'm a good nurse. This surgeon is telling me I'm doing a good job. I can do this. I would just say to any leader out there, you know, it might feel strange to find those times to praise, and you might feel like if you want to be this powerful in charge leader, you can't do that. But I would say that's not true. You have no idea how encouraging that can be to your employees and to your coworkers, to just let them know that they're doing a great job. So find those things that the people around you are doing well at, and take the time to acknowledge them. Another quote from the book was, criticism is futile because it puts a person on the defensive and usually makes him strive to justify himself. Criticism is dangerous because it wounds a person's precious pride, hurts his sense of importance, and arouses resentment. Now, again, this is kind of what I was talking about in relating to the surgeons. The surgeons that I saw do this, they really didn't have nursing staff that wanted to do a great job for them. Now, of course, we always put our patients first, so that wasn't in question. But in terms of going above and beyond to do what that surgeon wanted us to do, we weren't very likely to do that. We weren't very likely to give more than 100% versus the surgeon who took the time to tell me I did a great job. You know what? I would have bended over backward to do anything that he needed because I respected him. I respected the fact that he took the time to say, hey, great job. All right, so I don't know if I've convinced you yet that this book is pretty incredible and it's going to give you some great advice for how to relate to people, how to be successful in business, and it's not weird or creepy at all. It's a really great book full of solid tips and advice, so I hope you'll check it out. If you have any questions, comments, or if you've read the book and you want to share some great things you've learned and applied from it, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, brilliantbusinessmoms@gmail.com. You can also head over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/love, and there we give you a few ideas for how you can show us that you love the show, if that's the case. So thank you so much for tuning in. We think you guys are just the best. I hope you have a fabulous day. Now it's your turn to go out there and be brilliant.